It is Thursday the 10th of December 2015, and this is episode 266 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome to the final Digital Outbox of this year. Not the final one ever. We're back in the new year.
Well, there may be.
Yeah, we just may give up the ghost.
I might die. I might have a heart attack. I need to stop joking about these things. It is quite morbid. I got told off a couple of days ago.
I am Chris, hosting this free-for-all, it seems. joined in the commentary seat by Ian.
I'm joining you full screen tonight because we're on a beta version of Google Hangouts, which is sharper and bigger.
It is. I'm not so sure about sharper at the moment, but it is bigger.
Like I think it is. Like you're looking a bit sharper.
Thanks. it's like you're in my room. There you go.
Only in your dreams. No.
Yeah. Let's get some news out the way and done with, shall we? The final news of the year. And now, gosh, now, you can tell.
Because you've said, let's get the news out the way.
There's no picks and there's no additions.
You have to have a pick at the end.
Okay. I'll think about that while I'm talking. So, final news of the year. Nothing is going to happen between now and CES, so that's why we're doing this. So, this is the final bit. Everything else is just Christmas, right? Raspberry Pi. They've released a new product. It's called the Raspberry Pi Zero, and it's going to cost £4. Bonkers. This is a really pared down, really sized down product. It's still got a half a gig of RAM. It's got a mini HDMI port. It's got two mini USB ports. And basically, it's awesome. They sold out. I think they started selling and they sold out their production run within a few minutes.
They did. The best bit was that they actually had it free on the cover mag of a Raspberry Pi magazine.
That's
so
clever.
you could pick up a magazine and get a free computer, which was
just unbelievable. So yeah. they're saying this is as small as they can get it. They've cut everything back and they've got some sort of scale because they now know how popular the Raspberry Pis are. They can actually cater for that and actually offer scale. So they've got down to £4 for a whole computer. And okay, you do have to supply your mouse and your keyboard and all that kind of stuff, but still ridiculous. So he's saying they're pretty much on material cost now. They can't go any further. And, you know, wow, it just opens up. It makes my creative brain wish it was there.
Well, and the thing is,
I don't have a creative brain because I wish I did.
And the thing is, so I've got a little Raspberry Pi I picked up earlier this year just because I wanted to hack my own little temperature sensor thing for the house, and it works fine. Apart from it chews through batteries and the little sensors I've got because I hacked them to be reporting every hour rather than once a day. So the battery just goes whoa. But it just sits there, and I know you said you need a keyboard and mouse, and I guess you need that initially just to get going. But they just run headless. You know, you can just I've just remote in.
Yep.
You know, so as long as it's in the network, you know, I can remote in from the Mac, do whatever I need to do, and it just works.
So the developer, the sort of, you know, the original developers, like, he reckons this one of the reasons computers are so popular with our generation, you know, the 30s to 40s, is because of the BBC Micro and how that injected into everyone's home, and everyone got excited about programming in BASIC. And our generation's never lost that, and it wants to try and instill that into the next generation. And there's no, you know, there's no saying that's going to happen, but it's still like, you know, a school can look at that and think, you know, that's £4 for a bank of computers, which, I mean, in fact, not even schools, colleges, universities even can look at that as an assignment. It's, you know, it's an amazing possibility.
And as I said, my little hack for getting temperature sensors, so yes, there's now far more elegant, you know, iOS versions and Google versions for, you know, gathering sensor data, but I could buy one of these at £4, run a little temperature thing off it for probably another, you know, £8 or £9.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as I've got power somewhere, I'm done.
And the bigger the community is, the bigger kind of the, you know, the kind of associated like hacking sites. So, you know, these are life hacking sites, as in, so, you know, things like servos become available for it that are just easy to integrate. And then suddenly everything's possible then. So, yeah, good
and
stuff.
And even the existing Raspberry Pis now start at £16.
Yes. So the larger ones, they're not knocking these larger ones on the head because they're more powerful. They've got more ports. They offer more flexibility in certain areas. This isn't a replacement. It's a complementary product line. So it's a British computing success story. It's brilliant, and it's not just a UK success story. This is a global success story.
Yes,
good for them. 24 hours they sold out. I'm sure the new run will be online soon. BBC Three is going to be turned off in February. This is the ongoing saga of will it, won't it? But yeah, it's confirmed that it is going online only in February, with a view to using some of the budget savings on more long-running programs. And then they've just got to now see whether the audience follow or whether just, you know, whether it doesn't work as an online-only enterprise.
And they've also made some sort of commitment that some of the original content must be shown on BBC One or Two as well. And I'm sure that'll just plug the hole of them. We do see a lot of repeats.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll just be that you'll get a bit more original content.
And I have to say, but as much as I like some of the content that's on BBC Three and BBC Four, I miss it because it's not on my daily planner, you know, commute. So I often miss, they're on third of four parts. And I think the only way I can do that now is to catch up with those two previous parts. And I'm just not going to bother doing that. So, you know, I guess I'm still questioning whether online only is even possible to generate that audience in that way. I know when every time that I've heard anything go online or there's been these online only promotions that BBC have been doing, these documentaries, which are pretty amazing documentaries, but I started watching half of it and then I gave up and then I forgot to go back to it.
And I think the online only again seems to be, you know, 10-minute, 15-minute chunks, you know, so I'm quite happy sitting with a YouTube and watching a couple of things at 10, 15 minutes, but I find it hard to sit in front of the computer and say for an hour.
Yeah.
And fair enough, watching it online now means basically any TV. You know, I've been looking at TVs the last couple of weeks. They're all Wi-Fi'd.
Yeah.
That'll be
the saviour, as long as they can get the software.
Yeah.
Which means that even an online channel is just the same as, you know, you get into the same places as a, you know, a normal channel, a terrestrial channel.
And I guess that's where things like, you know, there's too many now. You've got, you know, the Fire TV and Google's got its Chromecast and Apple's got its Apple TV. You've got all these options now for viewing lots of content.
And actually, you want a central, organized, open source type platform, don't you, that then have all these other things feed into. But the problem is there's too many, in like Amazon's world, it's too much riding on you. They don't want to be competing with Netflix, things like that.
No, the issue for me is just not enough time.
Yeah.
I'm just finding real demands in my time to keep up with podcasts, TV, and never mind, you know, Netflix and Amazon Prime. It's a struggle. Oh, woe is me.
Formula E has announced Robo Race. It's going to be a driverless car race. So Formula E with basically set up their electric racing series going around cities of the world. Now they've announced that they're going to do a robo race, which is going to be effectively autonomous AI controlled cars racing around circuits, which has interesting engineering possibilities, I guess.
I deliberately put this in because obviously you are officially a racing car driver and I'm not. I just thought this was interesting that because how do they...
The problem is I've seen Forza. And how much they AI just muller each other.
Well, but what I was going to say is F1's got ahead of them because that's pretty much driverless at the moment as well. But seriously, I just, you know, it's like if I look at an hour long race and it's going to be run before the Formula E, and I've watched a couple of the Formula E races and they were a little bit dry.
They are a little bit dry. That's what happens when you have a single make formula and they have all the best drivers. They, you know, it's very even. This is an interesting, as much as anything, for the engineering excitement and the thing, you know, that side of thing. I don't think at the end of the day, they could do this on a simulator and no one would pay any attention or care. You know, the fact that these things are potentially going to be real. I say potentially because we've not seen this come out and there's safety concerns, I'm sure. at setting these cars off 150 miles an hour. And,
well, I loved your kind of Forza comment, you know, a couple of minutes ago, because they're saying that basically engineers and programmers are going to be, you know, what they look at is algorithms and AI, nothing else. And if you look at the way to win in Forza, just sit behind somebody for 10 laps and the last lap, take them out.
Yeah. and maybe an AI would be clever enough to do that. But, you know, it's all those things trying to, you know, one of the reason racing happens is because of that human psychology. And if you... You know,
can you imagine the AI of all the cars was you need to be in second place, so they all just sit there and don't move. And they're like, well, I don't want to be first.
An interesting engineering problem. I still think that this might, you know, what happens when the first crash happens and you know, who knows? But anyway.
And what happens when the first AI driver has a head injury? Sorry.
Jeremy Clarkson, he's sent a video out telling everyone how the Amazon drone delivery service is going to work. And looks quite funky. Basically, they show a picture of a little package going into a drone, the drone flying over to a house, and then the owners put out a little landing pad for the drone to land on, and it drops off the package. And they're just expanding on this concept that we all thought was a piss take to start with, but actually... They are quite serious about it, and they're even, you know, facing all the regulatory kind of discussions to try and make this happen. I don't think we're going to see it in the next 4 years. There's still security and safety issues, right?
I was going to say probably 10 years. I just think it's one of these things there's so many, you know, hoops to jump through. I think it'll be the technologies there, but people trust it?
You're just going to get rednecks sat in their back garden shooting these things down to see what's in them, right? Yeah, well, maybe getting big nets and just trying to catch them. Because, yeah, or, you know, or programmers hacking them to deliver. Yeah, suddenly this swarm of comes over one house, drops off a ton of packages.
The kind of futurist of talk about you're going to have drone lines. I guess if you look at a lot of films, you know, they always say 100 years from now, you're going to have the flying cars and have all different lanes and all these different, you know...
Oh yeah, sure. It doesn't stop a hacker having everything delivered to their house, does it?
No, it's just hard to imagine. And I think, from where I stay, it's hard to imagine that ever happening. It just feels so built up. So many things like you know, electricity lines, telephone lines. You know, a lack of places to land. You know, it's actually quite a small area, but the video is obviously
it's in a nice big massive American garden, isn't it? It's like no issue.
And it's like, you know, I've got a postage stamp, relatively speaking, you know, to land in. It's like,
given that Argos is now offering you same day delivery without drones, do you really need a drone? I guess, you know, it suddenly frees up a lot of space on the roads. So, you know, maybe there isn't real legs in this.
And I think it's back to its cost, its fuel cost. And maybe as the fuel cost comes in, it doesn't become a bigger issue. But, you know, when fuel costs were high, I'm sure this was driving a lot of the, you know, we need to stop this, you know, and also it gets around the whole, you know, people tend to not work after 6 o'clock, but if you're at work and you come home and you've missed your parcel, and maybe this is another way of doing it, but then if I'm not here to put my landing strip down.
With your neighbour. Hang on, he's put his landing strip out, let's put it over here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, did you see the picture of the Yodel guy throwing it in the window? No. And he threw it on the roof by accident.
Oh, no.
So the owner came home and it was sorry, your package is on the roof. And it wasn't a bungalow, it was a normal, you know, house, and he'd seen an open window and tried to throw the parcel.
He thought that was a sensible thing.
And managed to actually get it in the gutter.
Right. Yodel. Always improving.
I think there's certain situations, you know, out in the sticks, you know, it's a bit more remote. And even in Scotland right now, we've obviously seen the damage that bridge closer's doing. I mean, if you're over on the east side of Scotland right now, a 15-minute journey can potentially now be 2 hours.
Yeah.
So straight away, you can see why, you know, these things make a difference. And
too windy in Scotland, you're never going to get a drone.
Oh, tell me about it.
You'll end up in Norway.
Tell me about it. I've not. All I've seen flying is my fence this week.
Tom York called YouTube a bunch of Nazis.
Bit strong.
Yeah, it was a bit strong. Basically saying YouTube are stealing all the art in the world and grabbing control and not paying artists.
Rubbish.
I mean, his point is that someone's making money out there and it's not the artists. And that's the eternal and everlasting argument, right? It's always been the case. It doesn't matter. YouTube is just the latest distribution network for music, okay? And it's like the old distribution networks. Artists, what, for each CD got a couple of pence or something? Vast majority of it went into the, you know, the labels for setting up that distribution network. So YouTube, same thing. They've set up this global distribution network, and the artists are seeing very little. Now, that's not to say that's right or wrong. The long and short of it is that that is the case. And he kind of doesn't take into account that YouTube has massive operating costs that they have to cover in order to deliver what they deliver. And okay, it's not as massive as the advertising budgets they get. But yeah, that's his argument. And it's, say, I don't think it's an original, it's not an original argument. It's not the first time we've heard it. And as with all these arguments, he's specifically says, I don't have the solution here. You know,
I think that's a problem with all these things. You know, newspapers, music, film, TV. Society today doesn't expect to pay very much for it. And what do you do? Nobody's really got an answer. I mean, you look at all. When Sun's tried to paywall and it's disappearing. It just becomes really difficult. Yeah. And even now, I think the challenge is that ad blockers. They became a more hot talk with iOS, but it's, I mean, that's almost dropped away. But you do see now, and I'm running an ad blocker, you go and visit sites and it'll either say, I'm not showing you this video content because you're not willing to, you know, give me money.
Yeah.
Or they're saying, you know, Guardian will say, we know you're running an ad blocker, you're not supporting us, give us £5 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Help keep this afloat. And it's going to be difficult. And I don't think, I just didn't like the way he said it's like,
no,
it's the same way as Nazi Germany did. It's like,
No, he's saying, but I mean, Okay. Anytime you use Nazi in an argument, you've lost, right?
Unless it's Donald Trump.
apps. The Mac App Store is having a bit of a problem with apps leaving it at the moment. Sketch has done a runner because basically it's. Firstly, they obviously all their money to get in the App Store, all their money gets channeled through Apple, and they lose some of it to Apple. Secondly. The Mac App Store, you know, it's got a still got a review period and some restrictions on what you can and can't do. And it's just becoming more and more problematic for developers. They basically can't charge properly for upgrades. They can't have anything which is sort of more root level system type software because everything has to be sandboxed. And they can't offer upgrades and updates in a timely manner because they have an automated week gap from when they want to release to when Apple will actually put it on the store as a minimum. And it's becoming more and more frustrating for app developers, and because it's not the all encompassing thing that the iOS App Store is. People have options to go to websites and just to go and download these things. They've decided they're going to start abandoning it.
And for me, I mean, it's 4 or 5 years, can't remember exactly, since the Mac App Store came online. And at first you thought, great, it's going to be a good way of getting, you know, paid content out there. And everybody saw how iOS's App Store was fantastic. But as you say, no demos, no. I think the upgrades bit is the worst for me.
Yes. A developer has no way of making a fairly major upgrade and charging a user for that upgrade without releasing a completely separate app.
And it's the same on iOS. And when we see the Tweetbot developers, when they released a brand new version, I think it was something like £4 or £5. And the amount of one stars, how dare you, I've paid for this once already. How dare you, you know, charge me again?
Yeah, and that's why they've had in the past to go Tweetbot 1, Tweetbot 2 and all those. But they can't do that now because they lose all their tokens, don't they?
And I think that's the other issue about, you know, developers can't reply either. It's such a one-way system. And the thing is, it's not... These issues have all been known, but it's only got worse. Mm-hmm. So the Mac updates, as you say, you know, have come along, but the whole update procedure of, you know, submitting and taking, you know, 2-3 weeks, you know, to get what could be a critical bug out to users is just unacceptable. And with the latest ones, with all the sandboxing that really limits what they can do in certain aspects, we've seen so many. So I'd bought Sketch on the Mac App Store. And I mean, that's them left. And then just tonight, switched on, it's like got an update. And you know, that would have taken 3-4 weeks. Instead, the developer can get an update out and you can get it installed. And they're not the only ones. Panic, remove Coda, and Bare Bones, remove BB Edit. These are award winning, you know, big apps that are struggling.
Yes, but nevertheless, the App Store will still be is a relatively safe place to buy your apps, and in the knowledge that you can then use them, where, you know, when you migrate to new machines. So there's no issue of losing the upgrade or losing the license key, whatever. So it does come with benefits, and maybe for some more slow moving applications or more mature applications, it is still a viable thing.
And I can see a world, and it was a fairly bleak post that I'd read. That was saying, if you look at the gatekeeper settings, I think by default, when you buy a Mac, it's basically you can only install software from the Mac App Store, but you can change it.
Yeah.
But can you imagine if there was an actual real live damaging virus that swept through Macs? Would Apple just say, right, you can't install anything from anywhere else? Well, I don't think they would, but
again, it would go against. I mean, it would be the death knell for the Mac, because
it would.
But I don't know what it would be replaced by, because we've just been convinced that everyone needs a Mac now. So.
Yeah, but and I think that's the thing. I think that's why I can't see that happening. Yeah. You know, there's always going to be that area where there's going to be, you can do what you like with it.
Yeah,
On a
device you kind of expect to be locked in, and actually you can still unlock yourself, right? People have found the way around. On a computer, you can identify that you might have a way, it might get supplied as a kind of, this is your nice sandboxed area, this makes everything nice and easy, but it's up to you whether you want to expand outside of that and do your own thing. But I don't think you can ever have a desktop where you can't do your own thing. I think that I can't see that working. Something else I can't see working, well, it doesn't work, Flash. That was a really, really bad transition. Finally, Adobe are saying, pretty much agreeing, that the Flash is a dying technology. They're changing the names of things like their Flash Professional to Animate CC, and basically moving that technology over to HTML5. It's not the death of Flash, because they will still support it from a security point of view, and you can still, if a developer wants to use it, they're still supporting that. But their direction and their focus is away from Flash.
I was going to be snide and say, BBC, can you hear us? Can you hear this?
I think they've got HTML5 players now, haven't they?
They do, but they point out that on Mac, Safari doesn't support the protocols they need, so you have to use Chrome.
Wow, okay.
Or use Flash.
When as you go to SkyPlayer, you can't do it on Chrome. You have to go back to Safari. Weird.
Well, they want all that. What is the other one that wants, is it Amazon that wants, what is Microsoft? Silverlight? It wants all that nonsense installed. Sod off.
I think Netflix used to be Silverlight as well. I can't think if it is still.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there you go. Flash really is on the way out, mostly caused by mobile and Mac, Apple wanting to kill it.
I think as well, just realization that it sucks so much battery.
Yeah.
Remember that period where there was like Apple, saying we're not doing it, and Adobe demanding it, and Google did their whole, we support Flash, but then anybody that switched on just saw their battery go,
what I don't think we should do is detract from what Flash was at one point, which was the only bit of excitement on quite a drab internet, really.
It was fantastic.
What it brought to the table was eye-opening as far as online games, multiplayer, this, this and that. The things, media and rich environments that were just totally impossible. Now it's possible to do the same kind of things in with other technologies, and probably in a better, more forward-looking way. But say it shouldn't be completely down on Flash.
No, I think it was just, I'm not saying it's a mistake, but I think, big corps get trapped in, well, we can wrap all our licensing around it, and we can present video in it, rather than just using it for, interface and animation.
Yes, it was a way of locking everything in to, and making it protected, because the web isn't protected by, and they saw that as a way of, well, we can put assets in here that people can't get hold of. So yeah, that's just great. Exactly. They loved it. But there are still things you can do in Flash that you can't do anywhere else. So there's still, it still is the most stable video display platform on the internet. HTML5 is still fragmented, shall we say.
I was going to say difficult.
Yeah, difficult, fragmented, same. Just not straightforward. Mozilla is basically saying the UK's laws are a bad step on this investigatory powers bill. So the Snoopers Charter. Basically Mozilla have come out and said anything that says we can't have encryption technologies end to end is just flagrant abuse of someone's right to privacy of their data, basically. What, you can't really say anything in...
No, the thing that surprised me was they were, Mozilla. I was surprised that they had said anything, because they are a, you know, and fair enough, it's a global thing, but there was only one of six groups to actually, or individuals, to submit written evidence.
I think people were just worn down by it, or that, you know.
And I think that's what's happened. Governance, it's just got to a point where it's like, this is going to happen, yeah. So it's a done deal. And I think even more so after what happened recently in Paris, it's a done deal.
Yeah, yeah. No, and it is, and I think even, you know, we're all a bit resigned to it. Still, you know, there's still some massive aching holes in this, like, inbuilt ability to hack into all these things. Where I don't know how they think that's not going to have massive, wide-ranging issues as far as people's data being leaked and how serious
it'll be. Is. Fine. Don't worry.
Zuckerberg is now a dad. He announced his baby girl Max on Facebook and decided he's going to give away all his money. $44 billion.
Now, do you think this is a genuine goodwill gesture, or was he just trying to avoid tax and look good at the same time?
Good, goodness only knows, but it doesn't matter, because there's $45 billion there that are going to now go towards helping startups. Helping this, helping that, being charitable.
I've heard a donation to Digital Outbox is in the offing.
Well, then I think it's a fabulous idea, and it should be
ideal.
Everyone has said, well, a lot of people have said this is just a tax dodge or whatever. But at the end of the day, he's got a lot of money, and he's.
We live in cynical times, Christopher.
And as true as it may be, as long as it goes to the right causes, the problem is, you know. As with all these things, does it mean that that $45 billion is going to go to the right place? It means that someone, it's frustrating in this world that money buys you everything, including the direction of, you know, where, what is righteous and what isn't. And that's, you know, getting all a bit.
No, but he gets to fund his pet projects. So we've seen it in Britain, you know, there's some really generous, you know, and, you know, rich people that will say, you know, I've got, I don't know, 200 million. I don't need 200 million. I'm quite comfortable on five, you know, so I'll give most of it away. And that's fine if it's all charities that we think are really good. But then all it takes is one of them to say, actually, I don't like homosexuality. So I'm going to start funding organisations to, you know, to promote, or, you know, to make sure schools don't hear about it. And it's just an acceptance that there's going to be some things that aren't popular, but if a certain person believes in it, they can fund it and make quite a difference.
Hey, Donald Trump's taken his billions and decided he's going to become president of the United States and be a
known racist. That's two name drops in the one podcast.
Boom. Facebook live video is going to be, or is being rolled out, has been rolled out to the masses. So this is the technology that allows you to broadcast live to your stream for all the people that want to watch it. And obviously it has some advantages over things like Twitter. They're kind of solutions in that you can control and set the privacy of that stream to people that you want to. So it's just got a bit more control. I can see that being an interesting concept. Things like setting up a little camera at a wedding or something like that, so people can tune in. Whether it'll catch on, whether it's kind of the done thing, I don't know, but I can see it's got a place.
Yeah, I think for certain things, even for daft things, you know, like if it was a, you know, there's a local library holding a little event, you know, somebody doing a kind of, you know, talk on, yeah, you know, a certain thing, just broadcast it live on Facebook for free.
Yeah.
And everybody can tune in. It sounds, I know, it's a bit like Periscope. All of a sudden, everybody can be a broadcaster. Yeah, and it doesn't cost them anything.
So YouTube obviously has had something similar as well, but you have to be quite a major user before they'll let you have the
live. Exactly. Yeah,
in fact, it is a seriously big user to be able to do that live function.
And I wonder if that will change.
Yeah, it sounds like it might have to, right? It might have to become,
you know, you've got Periscope, which is Twitter bought them, and you've got you know, obviously Facebook saying, hold on, anybody can now do this.
Yeah, you'd have thought they might have to tweak to keep up. Apple has made the Swift programming language open source, so you can now go and get that off of GitHub or on swift.org. They're still going to remain the major sort of developer of that and the direction, but the concept being, well, they've got a version of it running off of Linux already, And the aim, I guess, is to get this running everywhere. So because they want Swift to become a really global language going forward. Obviously, the more people they get programming Swift, the more people can make apps and so forth. And this is the first step. So it's not unheard of for them to open source things, but this is a one of a limited number of things they have open sourced.
Yeah, so we should see it spread a bit more wider. IBM actually had a really nice site. You can program on the web. Okay. So there's a nice hosted Swift developer tool. And there was lots of, it was a couple of screenshots showing, you know, that running on an iPad Pro with the Swift documents, you know, next to it. So it was actually a really usable, you know, mobile programming language that you can learn on the go.
Is it on Raspberry Pi yet? That's what I want to know. Yes, it's Linux, so it probably is.
I will have a, let me go and have a look.
Okay, Dropbox is shutting down Mailbox and Carousel. So these were two sort of properties that they bought up. The Mailbox was very, very popular because of things like swiping to get rid of mail items and adding sort of to-do dates to items. That's going to be shuttered down. And Carousel was their kind of photo-only option for sharing images around. And basically, they've decided that's also not got really a place in Dropbox. They're refocusing on their core apps, is what they're saying. Because basically, everyone else is caught up, and those products have no relevancy. With Mailbox, they must be a bit... They got the lead on the market, and Dropbox bought them, waited for the market to catch it, caught up, and then sold them again. Well, dropped them, didn't even sell them. Just
yeah, and it feels a bit like, you know, did Dropbox have a load of money? We need to compete with everybody else. Because there was a real explosion in these kind of third-party mail tools. It was, yep, Mailbox. All of a sudden, Microsoft bought another tool and rebranded it as Outlook. You know, yep. Google had Inbox.
Yep.
And there's a few others that have kind of bubbled around, but Mailbox was one of the first. But I mean, it got loads of... Remember they did the whole invite and you were in a queue and it was like, yep, you know, you've got, you know, your 4,000 to go and your 2,000 to, yep, go. It's amazing that they've just said, actually, done. In some ways it's not, because there's been no updates for months. There's been no, yep, tweets for months. They were very active and then it just dead.
Yeah.
So
I'd say other people, it's so quick to respond now online that it's, you know, even mobile development's schedules so quick nowadays, they can roll things out. And as soon as they see good features, they can ping them out there. Anyway, I don't think anyone's mourning too much. Facebook's also shutting down some stuff. It's shutting down Creative Labs, Riff, Rooms, and Slingshot apps. These are all the kind of, I think they got launched around the concept of, you know, develop fast, don't worry if it's not perfect, kind of, you know, more scrummy type methodologies. Yeah.
And also it was almost like, so Slingshot was a competitor for Snapchat and Rooms was another basic copy of something else. You know, Rooms was the one that was like, you had the QR code and you could zap it and you joined that forum.
Yeah, that's right, and you can join a conversation. Yeah.
And it almost was like, yep, we've got a couple of developers that can go and hack this together in 2-3 weeks. It's exactly the same as somebody else has done, but we're Facebook. It did feel a bit like, I don't know if they were just saying, we can launch a platform and let's go and test a few new things on it rather than messing around with the core Facebook, mm-hmm, side of it. And that's what they've said, that, you know, they've pulled some of the ideas from those apps and brought them into the main one.
But it doesn't give you any confidence about signing up for new things going forward if they just shut them.
No. And also it's the fact that this Creative Labs, which they talked about how it lets them fail fast and do all those kind of things, dead.
Yeah.
You know, so are they turning into a bit more staid and a bit more...
That's probably the impression they get, but they're trying to take away, you know, they're trying to not say that by releasing, you know, articles saying, well, we're not giving up on that kind of concept. We're just refocusing these two things. You know, live fast, die young. They've died. Get rid of them.
Yep. But it's a bit like, because you know how you had like the big traditional things like Apple and Microsoft, and then Google came along and was like, yeah, this new kid that could do anything. And we saw them slim down, what, three, four years ago? Let's shut down, you know, Reader, let's shut down all these other things. And
it
focus
happens,
on
doesn't
core.
It? They get big and then they scattergun and then they chop.
Yep. Yeah. And I just wonder, are they going through a little contraction at the moment? Is it focusing money? Is it focusing growth? Is it back to shareholders?
Well, they've just realised that their major shareholders selling them off at $1 billion a year. So.
Yeah.
that's amazing. You can give away £1 billion of shares, or $1 billion of shares each year, and you could do that for 45 years. That shows how much money some people have in this world.
But I still think fair play to him because he kept hold of the control of the company and compared it to the folk behind Mailbox,
yeah,
who had probably a really viable platform, took the money and are dead.
Yep.
And fair enough, they could go and, I guess they could now bugger off and go and start again and do something very similar if they thought there was money to
they probably made enough that they don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Right, yes. Controversial. Twitter has fiddled with its feed and gosh, by darn it, people aren't very happy. They're rolling out on a kind of test basis, non-chronological timeline. So it isn't just a one tweet after another after another. It's what Twitter thinks you want to read. And people aren't very happy, including our very own Ian.
Yeah, so this is here because you know how much I hate when Twitter messes around with my chronological timeline. I like Twitter for that reason. We can follow an event, you can watch Question Time, you can watch football, you can watch it with thousands of people, you can see their reactions, and see when I see Facebook at the moment, I'll sit and refresh it three times in a row. It's totally different every time. It makes it nonsensical, and it infuriates me. And Twitter,
even when you're scrolling down Facebook, in Facebook, it pings new stories in that, like, where did that come from? And then you scroll back up and it's at the top of the list. It's weird.
Yeah, and it's not even, and I'm trying to see, is it because somebody's commented? No, the last comment was 24 hours ago, but for some reason you're showing me Chris has posted a video from 24 hours ago.
The problem that Twitter's got, though, is that it is good at if something's happening and you're watching Twitter at that time, you see it, right? It's why they've brought in their moments.
But that's the whole point of moments. Don't mess with the timeline. Give me moments. Don't mess with the timeline.
Yeah, so yes, I think that's what people are saying. Yeah, that if you're going to do anything, do that and then still leave the timeline. But yes, they're going to now decide what is important to see. And who knows, maybe they'll do a good job. Probably they won't.
And a part of me thinks, see, if I've been a third party client, I'm probably going to be fine.
Yeah. We'll see. Until they send the fire hoses, just their new feed rather than the old one. Apple, new product. You excited? Battery case for the iPhone. Basically, it is an 80 quid case that comes with a free battery.
It comes stuck with a Quasimodo like hump.
Yeah, everyone's saying how ugly this thing is. I don't really care. It's fine.
It's not fine. It's horrendous.
It's not pretty, but it's a case with a battery that extends your battery life by 25 hours.
Yep.
You have to query why it couldn't have just been, because basically it looks like a silicone case that's got a big hump in it, right? And you've got to query why they couldn't have just had a thin, fully battery that went right to the edge of the silicone. Then you wouldn't have had to have a hump.
I did see an article from The Verge that theorized that Morphe, which is the big player in this kind of market, have a patent. And seemingly that would have broken the patent.
Right. And I think also, battery technologies do work when they're thicker, don't they? They need some sort of thickness to be efficient. I'm sure I read somewhere that it needs to have a certain thickness, or I could just be talking.
So this looks fugly. B, it's only black and white cases.
I don't think it's as ugly as all that. I don't think it's that bad.
I'm not finished yet. See, they basically present a hole for your headphones to go into.
Yeah.
And most headphones are fine, apart from Beats. Who owns Beats? Apple.
Yeah, that's not very clever.
No, it's not very clever. So then you need to have a headphone adapter to then plug your headphones in. But it just looks, I honestly thought it looked horrendous.
It does come with a clever, it's got inbuilt aerials so that the case doesn't affect, it improves even reception, which is good.
I just didn't like the look of it. Tim Cook defending it by saying it's not a hump. And anyway, you wouldn't have this on all the time. You just put it on when you need battery.
Yeah.
And it's like, why don't I just buy a little box?
That's a more attractive solution than carrying around with you one of those lipstick charger type things.
No, it's not.
Yeah, isn't that? Oh, well, it's got an inbuilt, it attaches by just being on. Anyway, okay. I don't think it was that bad.
No, I think they're trolling us. The whole Apple Pencil charging by sticking it into your lightning port and sticking out, it just looks like you could just snap it.
It does, yeah.
But accidentally, or you put it down, it snapped. The whole mouse with the charger underneath, yes, it's only for a minute, but it's underneath.
Yeah.
Get a grip. Honestly.
Google has added multi-room support to its Chromecast audio. This is the other product that Chromecast sort of supply, so it's not just a video one, they've got an audio one. It was a bit limited initially because you could only play to one device at a time, but now they have added what they're calling, I think, is it groups? So you can set up a group and then you can broadcast your song to those groups.
Very interesting, because this is only like 20, 25 quid.
Yep, and you could put, as long as you've got a connection to... It's a standard jack connection, isn't it, I think?
Yeah.
So as long as you can stick this into your devices, that means you can make your own Sonos system for, well, 50 quid.
I know. And also it brings, today you got support for higher resolution audio. So it's, you know, better than CD quality. So again, this is, because I was actually thinking about buying Sonos this Christmas.
Okay.
And
now you've got to think about whether you want the little dongles.
And it's just, it's the hackiness of it all. You know, so it might have been fine for me, but, you know, would it be fine for the more elderly people in this household? Mm. Whereas Sonos is a bit more fire and forget.
Well, you say that. I know enough people with Sonoses that say actually they end up being really frustrating, similar to the old printer, cannot see printer kind of.
Oh, don't say that.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll let you, you pay your money, you take the choice. That's the end of the news. So I need a pick now then to satisfy your requirement. I don't really have, but I did download. What did I
say? Thought you were just going to say I'm playing Halo and I really like it.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Cheap. I did download Codemasters Dirt Rally the other day.
Oh, although Jet Bike Simulator.
Although I've only, it's like it's a return to it being a full-on simulation rather than any kind of arcade, and I've only played it for 10 minutes. And my, well, I say 10 minutes, probably more like half an hour to an hour, and it really is hard. It is solid, but it doesn't feel like anything like a Colin McRae old game that you'd all the dirts have passed. It really is Richard Burns Rally Plus. But I've got to spend some more time with it. But it's a lot of people raving over it. If you go online and watch a proper rally driver racing with it, you'll see how amazingly good it looks. You try and do it yourself and you realize how amazingly good those rally drivers are.
Yeah, I kind of miss that rally game.
Well, this one isn't a rally game for you if you're timid at all. It's literally
You should just stop there. You should just say this isn't a rally game for you. Just stop. Full stop. New sentence.
Full stop. Okay. There you go. So I will update. It's a pretty weak pick in that it was on. Here you go. Here's why it's a pick. It's because it had 15% off. It's just gone from the pre-release to version one. So there you go. It was 15% off on Steam. Get there quick and you might still get that percentage off. Have you got anything you want to pick?
An iOS game called Progress. It's 100 puzzles. They're all quite cunning. They don't give you much clues as to what you need to do for each one to do it. And I think it's well worth a purchase. I think it was a couple of quid. And I've enjoyed it.
Did you ever play, was it 100 Floors or something? Did you ever play that?
I don't think I did.
That was kind of similar. It was always a lift. And the lift doors open.
Well, these are all kind of, what's quite smart about this is it's how you interact with it that makes you solve the puzzle.
Yep. Okay.
I don't want to say any more than that because it's like, it might kind of, and it's things like, you know, you might have to swipe a certain way or do a certain action. And it's like, oh, that's nice.
It does sound similar to the I think it's called 100 Floors or something like that. Yeah, sometimes you had to shake it and stuff. Anyway, right. So that's called Progress and it's an iOS and maybe a couple of quid, something like that.
And my second one, which is a couple of quid, is one called Heartwatch. Heartwatch is an app which takes all the data, all your heartbeat data that is getting captured in the Apple Watch and is available in the iOS Health app. But it's all really just, you know, you can see some graphs, but it doesn't really tell you very much. This actually tries to take it and make it of interest. Okay. It'll show you know, when you're at your peak heart rate and, you know, when you're at resting and is there any disturbing trends, and it starts to talk about when you should, you know, when you should maybe do some, you know, if you are concerned anyway, you know, capture it this time of night and capture it here, and that tells you, you know, maybe do you have a concern. It's just interesting. I find all this stuff very interesting recently, just because even I've had a couple of health issues and it's been even talking to the doctor, I was able just to say, you know, well, in that first week and a half when this happened, my weight dropped 2 kilos.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh. But then in the subsequent 3 weeks, here it's all climbed back. Oh, thumbs up, it's all come back on again. You know, so just little things like that. And they were like, my goodness, that's an awful lot of data. But it was nice just to be able to share that kind of stuff.
Not until that's all, you know, combined and, you know, put.
Exactly, because
the thing, see that kind of stuff.
Because the thing that I've had is actually, it's not complex, but it's just one of these, it's quite kind of hidden away and not easy to treat, and it's been there for a few months now. And but it's interesting as you go through all the different symptoms and it all kind of ties together, and it's like, okay, that's a bit more reassuring.
Yeah.
So anyway, two little iOS apps.
Cool. All right. Thank you very much. That's the end of the podcast for tonight, but it's also the end of the podcast for this year. Like I said, there's going to be no news now until CES, so we'll come back when they start talking about what TVs we should buy and what technology they've decided 4K is going to be superseded by. And we will talk to you then. So just leaves me to say thank you very much for listening. It's been a pleasure having you along. If you want to find out more about what we do, and if anything does pop up over Christmas, I'm sure we'll post it onto digitaloutbox.com. But you can also talk to us if you like. We're not going to post it up on digitaloutbox.com. You'll just have to use Twitter on its non-chronological timeline, and then you'll find out eventually. But you can talk to us, info@digitaloutbox.com is our email address. And if you want to follow me, you can do on Twitter, it's GZUK. Anything race related I put on my academyracer.co.uk blog, so you can go there if you want to find out the racing stuff. Ian, where could people haunt you?
My blog is iand.net. I'm on Twitter as Shweepa.
All right, so have a happy Christmas and a merry new year, and we will, no, the other way around, merry Christmas and a happy new year, and then we'll talk to you next year. Ta-ra.
Goodbye. Farewell.
Happy New Year. It is. There's. Oh, hang on. Excuse me. I should have swallowed.